Joining us is a local guy. He was born in Brockton, graduated from UMass Amherst. He ran the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund, plus ones created after the BP oil spill, the Virginia Tech shooting, and many others. He's now in charge of One Fund Boston. Welcome to the man who was called the Master of Disasters by the American Bar Association. Welcome, Ken Feinberg, to Boston Public Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us, Ken, as well. You know, 2 days ago, you announced the rules of the road. You were at a press conference with Governor Deval Patrick and the mayor of Boston. What's happened since then? Have you met with any of the victims? What's happened?
Right now, what's happened is we are preparing a draft protocol that worked well in Aurora and in Virginia Tech. We'll get the draft protocol disseminated in the next week or so for families and the public to review. And then we're going to hold two town hall meetings in Boston on Monday evening, May 6th. For families that work during the day, victims, victims' friends, the public. And we'll hold a second town hall meeting on Tuesday morning, May 7th, again in Boston, open to the public or anybody else that wants to attend. And then we will take this draft protocol for compensation criteria, formulas. We'll distribute it and we'll begin by May 15th to send out and receive claim forms from eligible claimants. We'll process those claims around June 15th, and the money will go out, all of it, 100%, by the end of June.
And just to be
clear, that's fast.
It has to be fast. These folks are in need. They need this money. They are in desperate shape. Some of these injuries are absolutely horrific. And the sooner we get this money out, the better.
And Ken Feinberg, when you say the injuries, some of which are horrific, part of, I assume, that decision-making process through the protocol and then these meetings will be whether a decision as to whether or not you're talking about just physical injuries to include psychological injuries, that kind of thing, correct?
That's exactly correct. In Aurora, we did not have enough money. We only had $5 million total. We could not pay mental trauma even of those moviegoers who were in the theater and witnessed the tragedy. In Virginia Tech, we had $7 million, and we did pay $10,000 to any of the students who witnessed the carnage in the classroom, but through the grace of God or whatever, escaped. And we offered them $10,000. We had the money.
And let me be clear. So while that determination will be made as what is an injury as such, for potential claimants to understand, if a worker at one of the 400 businesses was unpaid for 10 days, that's a whole other issue. You're just literally dealing with people who are directly injured in one fashion or another by what happened on April 15th, correct?
Well, you know, you raise an interesting question. I mean, right now, we're focused naturally on lost loved ones and physical injuries. Depending on how much money there is and how we decide ultimately to distribute, what about mental trauma? What about those people on the street who saw the severed limbs and the horrific tragedy? Should they be eligible? What about business owners in the community on Boylston Street who have been shut down and unable to open because of these attacks, these bombings? You're raising very good questions that will all be considered by all of us after we hold these town hall meetings and after we sit down and finalize the protocol that will govern the distribution of the funds.
And obviously how much money you have. And by the way, if people want to contribute, they can go to onefundboston.org.
Ken Feinberg, you mentioned that a lot of this people are going to fill out forms and explain what their losses were and so forth. But I wonder, because you've been doing this for quite some time, do you also meet with some of these either survivors or families who've lost their lives?
Absolutely. I'll meet with anybody. From the time that the claim form is returned, on June 15th. There's a two-week period before we will begin distribution of the funds. And during that two-week period, I'll meet with any family in Boston or any victim that wants to meet with me in confidence, not as part of a public hearing, to express any views that they would rather express to me alone. And I'll be glad to do that as well.
You know, Ken Farmer, how does that affect you personally? When you have to go through, not have to go through, when you choose to go through meeting with individuals, some of whom have suffered the most grievous losses, whether it's to themselves or somebody that they love, what kind of impact does that have on you, not as the master of these funds, but as a human being? What's that like?
It is horrific. It is chilling. It is disconcerting, to say the least. You can't meet with families, more than one or two of them, before you just have to take a walk around Boston Common or buy an ice cream or sit on a park bench. You will go mad when you listen to these the anguish and the anger and sense of frustration at what the future holds. And it's very, very difficult. But remember, you're asked to do this by the mayor, by the governor, and you step up like any citizen would. What I'm doing is not rocket science. There are plenty of people that could do what I do. I'm asked to do it, I do it. If you could do it, I'm sure.
We're talking with Ken Feinberg, who's going to oversee the distribution of the money raised through very generous donations for the One Fund Boston. You know, Ken Feinberg, I've thought about this before. You know, certain victims and certain survivors get these funds. 9/11, of course, the nation was traumatized. Boston has been traumatized by this. We have a fund here, Virginia Tech. But, of course, there are hundreds and hundreds of innocent people murdered every year in America, particularly in the inner cities right here in Boston. And there's no funds for those people. They just kind of have to suck it up, for lack of a better word. You must have thought about that. How do you reconcile that in your head?
Well, it's very, very difficult to reconcile that. Bad things happen to good people every day in this country. There's no One Fund Boston. And I mean, it's a wonderful outpouring of community cohesion. I mean, One Fund Boston demonstrates, I think, the incredible charitable impulse of the American people.
Yeah.
From the perspective of the nation, the One Fund Boston exemplifies the very best. We want to help our fellow citizens. Now, it isn't all that often, but a tragedy is so public and so impacts the nation that people voluntarily contribute private money. It does raise questions of fairness and equal protection. But I must say, these funds are all, Aurora and Virginia Tech and Newtown and the Boston Marathon, One Fund Boston, these are all private reactions to a public tragedy. So, you know, that's America. And some tragedies rise to a level of contribution. Some don't. And that's our system. Now, the 9/11 fund was much different. The 9/11 fund was a statute passed by Congress in which everybody was paid with public taxpayer money. That was unique. You'll never see that again, I don't believe.
And you made the point the other day that it needs to be made again here, that because those were public funds as opposed to this $20 million and growing, which are private funds, no impact on people's rights to litigate, no impact on insurance. These are, I think you call them gifts, essentially, from caring fellow citizens, right?
That's exactly right. These are private charitable donations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not, no claimant who's eligible for these funds is required to waive any rights. There are no preconditions. Here is a gift from your fellow citizens, as determined by the One Fund Administrator. Here it is, and it's yours. There are no restrictions on it. Do what you want with it. Pay a lawyer if you want. But that's up to you.
You know, Ken Feinberg, how do you decide? You know, there's a great age range. One of the people that was killed in Boston was an 8-year-old boy. Other people were older, or they were in their 20s and 30s. How do you decide when, you know, what the family of a young person is going to get versus the family of an older person? How do you do that?
Well, in the past, these private funds all lives are equal. I don't care if you're an 8-year-old or an 80-year-old. All lives are equal. Loved ones lament your loss. Whatever we pay the 80-year-old or the 8-year-old or the 18-year-old is a presumption in my mind. All get the same. Life is precious. Who am I to validate lives? I don't think you can do that.
Incidentally, if there's a claimant listening to Ken Feinberg now, you can either go to onefundboston.org or you can call 855-617-3863. You know, Ken Feinberg, Brian McGrory is now the editor of The Globe, is with us on the radio every Wednesday. He wrote a column about you on or about the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I looked it up again today, and you told a story about traveling on your own to see a woman in Brooklyn who had been one of the very few people who had refused to file or failed to file a claim seeking some compensation from the 9/11 fund. Could you tell that story, please?
Yes, I went and saw this woman. I noticed she had lost her son in 9/11 at the World Trade Center. And I went to see her, and I said, Mrs. Jones, you only have 2 more weeks under the statute to file your claim. You will receive about $2 million tax-free. But you haven't filed. And you're running out of time. And she said, Mr. Feinberg, I lost my son. You're here to give me money? Keep your money. Bring my son back. Mr. Jones, I can't do that. I wish I had that power. I don't. Take the money. I'll help you fill out the form. You can set up a foundation in your son's memory. Don't lose this opportunity. She said, leave the claim form on the desk and please go. I left, and she never filed.
Oh,
and she
goodness.
Never filed a lawsuit. She never filed. She never did anything, and she passed up the money. And I learned by that one example how grief can paralyze people and prevent them from acting rationally. And it was a terrible, terrible... It was one of, I would say, as big a disappointment as I had in administering the 9/11.
Well, I've also read Ken Feinberg where people can get rather hostile and saying things like, I spit on your children, meaning to you, because they're unhappy with what they've gotten.
Anybody who does what I do, do not expect, thank you, do not expect we appreciate, don't expect gratitude, don't expect a pat on the back. And don't expect it, and you shouldn't get it. These are people in grief who have just suffered a terrible loss or a personal tragedy and who flail away at the notion that they lost a loved one. Why not the guy next door? Why not the woman around the corner? Why my son? Why my husband, my daughter, my wife? Anybody who does this and expects anything other than a sort of frustration and even bothering with this, you're in the wrong wrong line of work. I'll tell you that.
Hey, last question for me, Ken Feinberg. We really appreciate your time, and we'll give out the numbers and the website repeatedly throughout today. You're a Brockton kid, as I mentioned. You worked for the legendary late Senator Ted Kennedy. Is there something special in this assignment as compared to ones, high-profile ones you've taken in the past that's almost in your backyard?
Well, it is in my backyard, and obviously it's Boston where I spent so many days and growing up, and Brockton and the whole Commonwealth. And you feel a special sort of allegiance. It's not that you did your job any differently anywhere else, mm-hmm. 9/11 or Aurora, Colorado, or Virginia Tech University, but it is your home base. You know a lot of people. You know that you're lucky that loved ones and friends weren't down at that finish line. And you take a certain pride, I think, in coming home to try and help your fellow residents of Massachusetts.
Last thing for me, what do you do when this is over, when the checks are written on Bank of America or after the 9/11 fund, when you've lived through this stress, this attempt to help people heal as best they can, which obviously has a slightly masochistic piece to it, too. What do you do to calm down after these high stress, unbelievably intense periods of time in your life? What do you do, Ken?
Well, you hope there won't be another one. You know, every time I do one of these, and accept the obligation by a governor or a mayor or a president or an attorney general, I say to myself, I'll do one more con.
We wish.
It's the last one. And life has a way of disappointing you. It isn't the last one. I'd like to think this terrorist bombing is the last one, but we know better. And, you know, I try. I have a summer vacation on Martha's Vineyard. I love it there with my family and my grandchildren. You hope that you'll be able to have, shall we say, have fun. But you sort of live a little bit in trepidation that there's another one coming around the corner, even though you hope it won't happen.
Yeah, we do, too.
Ken Feinberg, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. We much appreciate it.
And Marjorie, before we leave, if you're a potential claimant, you go to onefundboston.org or you call 855-617-3863. And if you want to contribute to the more than $20 million that's already been raised, again, onefund, F-U-N-D, boston.org.
Ken Feinberg is the administrator of One Fund Boston, and Ken Feinberg was kind enough to join us. Up next, we're going to bring you a speed dating version of the special Senate election. We'll be doing quick interviews with every candidate running in the race. Join us. Our first hit is Congressman Stephen Lynch. Keep your dial on 89.7 WGBH, Boston Public Radio.